Mitch Payton stood up and he was like, and started walking to him. And he was like, hey, yo, don't make me put my foot up your ass if you are like that, because you ain't going to win. You ain't going to win. I knew people that I was wrong, but hey. Tom Vial's championship, people, is probably just as important and is as big as Jett Lawrence's. It is. The reason I'm going to say that is because what Tom Vial was able to accomplish is why Jorge Prada is coming back next year. And it's probably why you're going to have more European guys, MXGP guys coming over here and competing. And within like a minute and a half, we saw this whole year, 17 races, all that stuff could have been accumulated and you could have messed around and lost your title. Even though the fat lady, she was on the scene, or the pretty lady, she was on the stage, you could have lost your title over somebody else's situation, no matter who it is. And I think this is where I go back to this. As Jett gets better and he's older, he's probably not going to get faster, but he's going to get more aware to realize that, you know what, Hunter's a big boy. I'll get this later on. There's times and places for everything.
Little James, Bubba,
Duck to You, and the AMA Hall of Fame.
But Stewart has found a way to redefine this whole race course.
Oh, my goodness.
Fastest guy I've ever seen on a bike.
Win his second world championship.
You can call him whatever you want. He'll still kick your ass every Sunday.
What's up, guys? This is your boy JS7, and we here. We at the final Supercross Rewind from Salt Lake City, where we finally got to see the fat lady sing. Jett Lawrence was able to clinch that championship.
For everyone who doubted, suck it.
But it was a wild night. We had RJ and Levi Kitchen. The kitchen sink was leaking, or RJ go do his thing. It was a great night of racing. Your boy was there. The Salt Lake fans were there. The weather was, it was going up and down, but overall it ended up good. And it was a great night of racing where we saw three champions get crowned. So you know what we're going to do. The final one of the Supercross season. Let's get into it, people. Salt Lake City, here we are. I mentioned before going into Salt Lake, it was one of the smaller stadiums. It was a football stadium, it was a college football stadium, but really tight floor plan. And they seemed like they tried opening it up a little bit, like they had some 180s and stuff. They had a big flat sweeper, or, you know, big, I wouldn't say a bowl corner, and I wouldn't say a sweeper because it wasn't fast, but a flat corner going back across the start into 180, going back across the start into the whoop section. So overall, the track was really basic, but how slippery it was. Salt Lake is usually slippery. Throw in that it was overcast most of the day, then it got really dry, and then it ended up raining for a little bit, made that track really slippery. But by the time the main event came, it actually had some traction. The guys was just really throwing off on all the different conditions. But overall, Salt Lake was, like we expected, a slippery, hard base track, and luckily the rain held off enough to where it wasn't a mud fest. But guys are doing their thing, and it's cool to see. You can see the difference now of guys out there racing. Normally, when you get to Salt Lake, now that they have the SMX playoffs, they get to the part where at the end, those guys are racing. Like all the guys from the privateers to some of the guys, they're trying to accumulate those points, especially if you're not going to race outdoors. So you see battles that you normally you wouldn't see at the end of the race. So now that series, and since we got a year under our belt, like now you kind of see that playing out. But overall, again, the 250 class was super exciting. The 450 class, or it was exciting. They had some up and downs, and you thought like things were about to go down. But overall, nobody got knocked out too much, and it was a good night of racing. Chase Sexton. We saw the Chase Sexton of old. Well, I would say a new version of the Chase Sexton, the guy that we were kind of been waiting for, but you can kind of see it coming. It was here in spurts. And finally, all day long, I knew going into the race that just the way the track was going to be, the conditions, it was going to be set up. Chase won here last year. It was first, you know, 450 championship. So Salt Lake was a special place. But I saw this coming. You know, you can see even at, oh, after he looped out of Nashville, but the next race, and then you can see this thing starting to build, and just his confidence. You can listen to his podium interviews.
I feel really good. I wish I would have found this about 10 rounds ago.
I saw a difference from even at like Seattle when he knew he should have probably won that race. Just his confidence, or even when he got second or third, just to hear his voice now the last couple of weeks, like you can tell he's starting to believe, and that really just comes down to like he's getting more comfortable on the motorcycle. Even though last weekend he had that incident, he fell over like a wet noodle.
He's riding hurt. Whoa, and down goes Sexton.
He was able, like you could just see he still felt that confidence and it showed up in practice. Dude was fast. I mean, he was fast. It was old Chase Sexton-like, but it was different. He just had roll speed. Like his roll speed was really good. Where Chase Sexton was really good at was, you know, you go down that long rhythm section and from that tunnel jump back across the start straight both ways, look how Chase Sexton was rolling. Like he would hit that, hit the tunnel jump, go around that outside, and then it was like one like shoestring. And you take a shoestring, you make it an S. Like it was no notches in it. He was able to like go down this by the mechanics area. He would come out the corner, go closer to the mechanics area, go into that bull corner, turn down early, and then it was all sweeping lines. And that's where Chase Sexton was really fast. And I talked about all year, like his biggest thing was that burst of speed. Like just having like, okay, I'm instantly just going to go fast. That was a struggle. But once he got rolling in the beginning part of or the middle part of the races, like he was pretty good. Well, once he let the dude out front get a lap underneath, that dude took off. And with Justin Cooper ended up finishing second in the main event. Hunter Lawrence was winning the race last weekend. A lot of confidence going in. Chase Sexton just dusted those fools in the heat race. And you could just see this coming. And ultimately, it ended up getting somewhere special for him. And ultimately, I think this is going to look well for him going in outdoors because not only did he win this race, it was the first race that won. He was able to, yeah, you can say whatever you want about Jet Lawrence, you know, just being confident for the championship and trying to race. But if you're asking me, I don't even think Jet Lawrence, if he was in second, if you just go off of speed and if let's say everything was everything and it was all based on that night and there was no past history, because you always got to take consideration of like what happened in the past, mental things. Jet Lawrence wouldn't have beat Chase that night. Chase was on rails. And even if Jet Lawrence was in second, I think Chase would have been able to hold on if you're just strictly going off of that. But it was cool to see. And like I said, I think for Chase, it was the first race that he's actually beaten Jet Lawrence on a dry track. Really, it's the first race outside of the first playoff in Charlotte that he was able to just outrun dude. He had him covered in practice. And that's the biggest thing. You can win races, and let's just say Jet Lawrence was fast all day long, and Chase second, he was close, but Jet Lawrence was fast, and then Chase just beat him in the main event. Then I think Chase would feel maybe a certain type of way, but the fact is, he had him covered in both practices. He was the fastest in the heat race, the one that even Jet Lawrence won his, Chase won his too, and then in the main event, like Chase was just out doing his thing, and so I think going into the outdoors, knowing that I think he feels a lot more confident on the bike outside than he even does in Supercross. I think it was the best case scenario for us fans and going forward to Paula in the next week or so for Chase Sexton. But dude looked good. Can't say anything about him. You got to get a kid props because there's a lot of up and downs. And I know for a fact that it was hard for him to deal with what he was going through this year, just being like a one-way, always fast type of speed dude to figuring out a different type of way to go fast. Well, if he can do this, then I think next year and then hopefully in the outdoors, you'll start seeing this version of Chase Sexton more often. And it's going to be good. They still got the same issues. Like nothing's changed. I think Chase and obviously their bike's gotten better, but I think Chase is starting to figure out how to ride it. And just like what we saw last weekend and this weekend, he does it in a different way. And if he can remember this, they can work on the bike, make that thing a little bit better for him. Then I think Chase Sexton to be stronger than he ever has in the past. And ultimately going through this season, giving that number one plate to Jet Lawrence might motivate him and he'll be a better rider and more capable of winning more often. Justin Cooper, we saw him running pretty good. And at one point in that main event, he was starting to close in on Chase. And this is where, going back to Chase a little bit, this is where I saw the difference. You know, at first I was like, okay, like Chase is gone. And the way he was in that heat race, he just pulled away. But Justin Cooper, like he pulled away in the beginning and then Justin Cooper started closing in. But Chase was able to like regroup and just pick up the pace just a little bit. And that's when I knew, I'm like, all right, dude's feeling confidence. Like he actually has more speed. But Justin Cooper was one of those guys that we've been waiting for to get on that podium this year. And it was nice to see him do it at the last round. I think for him, I was talking, you know, during the broadcast or actually off air on the broadcast, that it's weird to see when you go back to all the guys on Yamaha, you know, Cooper Webb, like he's probably riding the best he has in his whole career. Eli Tomac, one of the things that he struggled with was starts. He gets on the Yamaha and hole shots. We know how fast the 250Fs, but the 250 bikes are. But Justin Cooper was the guy that always had good starts. He was notorious, like, for getting a good start, being out front. And then in this 450 class, like, starts have been his biggest issue. But we see Eli improve. We see even Cooper Webb. So you start to wonder, like, okay, what's going on? Because everyone else is improving, and you were already a good starter. What's up? So we felt like Justin Cooper, his biggest thing was getting that speed. He started doing that. He started getting a couple qualifying, fastest qualifying, and looked pretty confident doing it. So you're like, all right, eventually he's going to get a start because he's always a good starter. Well, it never happened. Well, this weekend he ends up doing that, and then he ends up just being on a podium and looking pretty good and almost having a chance to be up competing against Chase Sexton. If you go back a couple of weeks, Justin Cooper might have been able to have a chance to win that race. But just like what's going to happen to Justin Cooper, hopefully, is that him getting these third places and, you know, second places and hopefully being up front will allow him to get where Chase was this weekend and get that confidence to feel like, okay, like now I can go to that next level. Because 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, Chase didn't feel this way. He might have had a chance to beat Chase, but they're in different spots. And I know with starts, a lot of it comes down to will. You know, if a guy wants to be up front, the guy get up front. I say this all the time. You put a guy in the LCQ and they know they have to get a start, or a guy feeling like, all right, like in the mud race, they need to get a start, they'll get a start. And so when you talk about like confidence and stuff, and my whole point about Justin Cooper and starts and not having starts, some guys just don't want to be up front. Facts. Like, some guys don't want to be up front. And I know that firsthand because there were certain races, like when, yeah, I could be fast in practice, but certain races, I just did not want to be up front. And I didn't not like, I didn't go to the gate like, oh, I'm just going to intentionally get a bad start. But there's a difference of like, I know I need to be up front because that's where I belong, to I know I would like to be up there, but I ain't ready to be up there. And for me, I just want to be like, if I start like, you know, sixth, seventh, and maybe if I get eighth or if I get fifth, then it's a good race. But if I start like top three and I go back and probably eighth, that's where I'm going to end up, then it ain't going to end well. And that's why you see certain guys that, you know, no names particular, but you see certain guys that might have speed. And if they're out front and they're usually used to winning or running up front, and let's just say they start getting passed, like let's say somebody hole shots, they get passed and you're like, that's different. They get passed again. Those guys end up going to like 10th, right? Like they go from first to like 10th because once they start going the other way, it's for whatever it is, it's going downhill. And it's just like, you know, I don't want to be fifth. I was in first. So what's fifth? It's going to be a negative. It's going to be a negative. It's no positive. So they start going the other way. So my whole point is, and not saying I've talked to Justin and maybe I'm completely off, but I just put myself in my mind. And I think how fast he is and how good he has always been on the starts, it just seems different, weird that he hasn't been able to get a start this year. So overall, Justin Cooper, I think he did the right thing. He's been healthy pretty much all year. He's gotten better. And outdoors is going to be interesting to see how he rides that 450 outdoors. But Justin Cooper is finally doing what Justin Cooper needs to do. And hopefully he can take this into the outdoors and in the next year and then get one of these W's. But overall, Justin Cooper was solid, just like his teammate in Cooper Webb. Now, Cooper Webb was different. Like, it was a different weekend for Cooper. And he came out this weekend and said he was hurt. He was going to have surgery. And we talked about on the show, guys, they should come out and say it. And props to Cooper, whether he was watching the Rewind show. You know, my boy always watched the Rewind show. But nonetheless, it was cool to watch him and come out and say that. And Cooper rode the best he has in the last few weeks. And probably even... It ain't time for mic drop yet. That's later. Sorry. As I was saying, Cooper rode the best he has in weeks. I would even go back to, he probably rode better than he did when he won Seattle, weeks ago. And it was weird because nobody expected that. And that was my point. I was talking to Cole or in RC, and I was like, they were like, oh yeah, I think it's going to be a struggle. You know, he talked about he's hurt. He's already in the mindset. He's getting surgery yesterday because it's Tuesday, and I'm sorry, it might be a little late today, but you know, it's a little late, a lot of other things. But nonetheless, Cooper had surgery yesterday. So you would think his mindset, Jet's probably going to wrap up this championship. He saw the old lady out on the stage. The hype man was out last weekend. She was up warming her voice up. She was waving to the crowd. So you know she's ready to go. So Cooper wrote press day. He overjumped something. He pulls off the racetrack. Had nothing to do with it, but everybody kind of just assumed that he was out because even in practice, he rode like one lap, pulled off, and so he didn't ride much. So it looked like Cooper was going to be out of this thing. Having surgery, Jet's going to win his championship, whatever. But I was telling him, I was like, I bet he'll probably ride really good this tonight. And the reason I thought that was because there's no pressure on him. Like, there's no pressure. Kind of the same thing we saw in the 250 class. We get in a second with Hayden Deegan. When guys don't have no pressure, they have nothing to lose, and everybody expecting like them not to do anything. So anything is a positive. Just like my last point where guys that have speed, they start up front and they go backwards compared to starting sixth and just get sixth. It's a different, you end up in the same spot. It's a different way to get there. People look at it completely different. Well, Cooper Webb had no pressure and dude rode good, like really good. And you would think, you're like, damn, dude, like we know you hurt. We know you're having surgery. And I know the injury compared to what it was last weekend and the way you're riding, even everything today, you're letting off jumps, taking your hands off. You don't ride much practice. It still hurts. So it's not like it's been a while and it's just gotten better. But Cooper rode good. I think Cooper was in a great spot to where he was able to just focus and ride on the track. There was craziness going on around him, but not really with him in it. But if you think, you're like, man, if he'd rode like this the last couple weekends, maybe this championship would have been different. But if could, would have, things happen. I think what Cooper's done this year has been phenomenal, like maybe even more impressive than even his championships. The reason I say that is because, come on, people, let's be real. Did you have Cooper Webb being in having a chance to win this title this year? I think not. And if you did, you're lying. Stop lying. Stop lying. I did, but not really. I didn't think Cooper was going to be as solid as he was. I knew Cooper would be good. From what I've seen, he would be good. We already know the Star Racing Yamaha is solid, but Cooper Webb, Jet Lawrence, Hunter Lawrence, Justin Cooper, Eli Tomac. There was a list of people that we thought was just going to be there, and we already knew those guys were fast, and it wasn't thinking that we didn't think that Cooper Webb wouldn't be able to compete or he was over the moon like he was washed up. It was the fact that you had more guys coming in, and they were going to be fast, and that field was going to be deeper. And the one thing Cooper has, I wouldn't say a weakness, because you can't have 25-plus wins and two championships and be slow, but if speed is not your game changer, then having more guys in their speed might not end up well for you. It's just going to be harder. Well, Cooper came out at Anaheim, and I saw it in the press day. I'm like, that dude's going to be solid. You could just see the difference. He looked good. And if you want to back up a while ago, remember when I told you at Charlotte, I said I saw enough from him at Charlotte, that first playoff, the first race he was on the Yamaha. I said, Cooper Webb's going to be better next year. You just see his body position, the way he rides that motorcycle, and people laughed at me because he got like 10th that night. And I'm like, nope, dude looked pretty good. Well, coming in Anaheim, he came out, and even though like we never thought he was going to be championship, Cooper Webb was there, and he kind of reinvented himself as far as he figured out how to go faster. And when everybody else was doing everything, all the hype was about everything else, Cooper Webb gave us fans, because if it wasn't for Cooper, this championship would have been done. It would have been done. And I said, like, I don't even know if Jet Lawrence, he might have stayed on the track if it wasn't for Cooper. So I'm sure he's disappointed somewhat because he's a racer, but I know Cooper at the long run. And once everything settles down, Cooper's got to be impressed with his year. And we as fans and everybody else should give him a lot of props for being here, because he did something that we didn't see, that most didn't think that was going to happen. And I think Cooper Webb would probably be the same way next year. And it's just got to thank him for doing that. So Cooper Webb, do your thing, dude. You did good. Good luck on the surgery. That was yesterday. And hopefully to see you back. We all knew Cooper wasn't racing outdoors. Come on, bro. Come on. You know, like the injury, I get it. He hurt. But I'm sure this is a blessing in disguise for him. Come back when you're ready. So Cooper Webb, I'm going to give you a neck burn for the hell of it, because you just did your thing this year. And thank you very much. So Solid, bro.
Up the inside, Anderson runs him high and takes him down.
So Hunter Lawrence, Jason Anderson, Jennifer, back to them. Jennifer's daddy. Amy's daddy. Siggy. Now the pass, what Jason does, I was breaking it down, wanted to look for. Hunter Lawrence is out front, in front of Jason. They go back and forth. He gets passed, blah, 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 blah. And they get to the section. Hunter Lawrence makes a great pass in that flat corner, right before the mechanics area. No harm, no foul. Go through the whoops. Jason Anderson sets him up. He gets on the inside of Hunter and runs it in deep. Now, when you look at the pass, it's not really that bad. Like, the pass wasn't that bad. This is when you go back to history, right? Like, because some guys just don't get the benefit of the doubt. Like, I think with Jason, if he didn't have the history, then maybe they just said, like, all right, he ran in. That's not like him, whatever. He's trying to make a pass. He goes down because he doesn't really make too much contact to knock Hunter over. But there's certain types of passes that when you go in, you don't have to make contact because you know one of two things is going to happen. Either I'm going to make contact because this guy's going to end up having to come back down and he's going to hit me, then he's going to go down, which he came to me, and he's going to get knocked down, or he's going to run off the racetrack. And that's what this pass was, because even though you want to say, like, dude, he didn't do anything, he didn't T-bone him, well, you know, he went in there knowing that he's going to run out of racetrack, so he's going to fall either way. So whether he comes into me or he goes off track. And that's what this situation. So with this pass, the pass itself was, yeah, it was aggressive, but I expect that on the first, second lap, these guys are kind of going at it. And Jason knows Hunter is pretty good. You don't want him out front. He's like his brother. Let him out front, might not ever pass him again. So he goes in there and probably thinking too, Jason's like, I need these points so I can get the fourth and the points because that's a couple extra zeros. But nonetheless, or maybe they hate each other. Maybe they just got history. And that's the part where I go back to, you don't get the benefit of the doubt. And even a type of pass that's not that aggressive and that's not too bad, seeing way things worse in the LCQ, it just ends up bad worse. And that's what ends up happening here. And then, so the first pass, yeah, whatever. But because Hunter was knocked down by Jason a couple weeks ago, all hell breaks loose. All right, now the second pass, they go down the straight. Hunter is a lap down. Jason is battling with Cooper. At that point, he actually caught Cooper. Cooper was starting to be a little wounded duck. So I think Jason would have got around him because Cooper don't want to get shot too. Last time he was next to dude, that's when he ended up getting hurt a couple weeks ago. And now Hunter's there. Well, you can see Hunter going down that straightaway. He lets Cooper go by. No problem. And I don't think he has anything. You know, you would probably think that the brother would do that to Cooper because Cooper's somewhat in the championship, but he knows what's up. He wants Jason. So goes out straight, looks over after he lets Cooper go by. He sees Jason on the outside. He slows down, gets Jason up beside him. And that's the way you make passes like that, because you got to go fast enough where you could let the guy up beside him because you want him to carry his speed. Because if you slow down, he's going to slow down. So you want him to keep carrying that speed. So you keep him up, but you got to have him right beside you at that point. That way he can't, like, he has no choice but to be on the outside of you because you can't have him slow down. So that's what Hunter does. And he gets in there, and as soon as the corners start going, Hunter is going to fly, and Jason's trying to go the other way, and he goes in, looks over, and bumps him. Now, when I look at the pass, I don't know if Hunter was actually, I wouldn't even say Hunter was trying to knock him down, because I think he would have made a steeper, more in that corner going left. He would have went more right, and I believe if Hunter really wanted to knock him down, he knows that they probably would have been needed to be going faster. Otherwise, what would happen would have been exactly what happened. He would have bumped him, slowed him down, but he wouldn't have knocked him down. But I know Hunter was trying to do what he did. It's like startle him, mess his race up, pay back, just let him know I ain't no you know, and that was it. Again, I don't have a problem with the pass. I don't have a problem with the whole situation. The only thing is, your lap down is just the rules of the rules, right? This is where you go back to history. Because of what happened 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, that's why Hunter retaliated. I don't know if Hunter, if this would have been the first time he ever got to it with Jason, I don't think Hunter would have done that. But because he's going to keep doing it, Jason's past history, history got Hunter, this is what happens. And AMA, like I said, the fact that AMA didn't black flag Hunter shows you that history was involved in it. And what they saw, what Hunter did to him, they didn't have a problem. It wasn't dangerous. It was wrong, broke the rules. But it wasn't dangerous. He wasn't trying to hurt the dude. The reason they fined him was because it was wrong and he was speeding. 1.5 miles an hour or 50, he was speeding, and that's what it is. And so I think we're going to, is hopefully these guys let it go, because some people just don't learn. And I'm not saying Susie's daddy don't learn, Siggy's daddy don't learn, because Jason has changed, just might not change enough, right? Like, you still got to be who you are. No problem with that. But it's just not going to end well, because what's happening is the next person I'm about to talk to, and that's your brother. Now, speaking of this, we got a little insight. We got some video for you that was presented by us, just happens to fall in a box, where when you look at the big picture of things, Hunter, this problem, what him and Jason did, could have caused something else that really could have went crazy. And because those two were getting into it, could have caused a championship to be lost. And that would have been gnarly. And it would have been lost because of what Jet Lawrence was watching happen to his brother. You got to stick up for your brother. Jet knows what happened a couple weeks ago. Jet don't like it. And Jet's young. And this is where you go back when you look at the big picture of things. It's when you talk about rookie mistakes, and not even saying this rookie mistakes, but when you talk about Jet Lawrence and in the future, what makes guys like he's able to win this year and he'll be better next year and he'll be better the following year. It's not because he's going to get faster. He's just going to maybe not be in these situations, because he'll know, like, you know what? I just shoot him after the race. I got to wrap this championship up. But because Jet's young and he's still a kid, sometimes he just do certain things, he ends up getting into it with Jason Anderson. Now, I know his daddy was like, no, no. And I know Hunter would probably have been like, no, bro, no, no. I don't want you fighting. No, not right now. Well, Jet goes in on Mr. Anderson. Now, when you look at this situation, this could have got really bad, because he goes in and look, brotherly love, you got to do what you got to do. Family sticking in, whatever, love, thank you, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, stick up for your family. But your family would have told you not to stick up for your family in this situation, because this situation almost had a whole new situation. And so he goes in and makes the pass. He gets sketchy making the pass, but it's who he made the pass on and it's what transpired after the pass. Now you see him go in, make the pass. Now, from that point on until the next incident where Jet almost went down, nothing was happening. He was looking back. He was worried. Like, he knew that Jason was going to try to get him back. So when you look at Jason's pass and you look at what Jet did to Jason, Jet's pass was way more aggressive. Jet was going in and probably knock his ass down. Facts. Okay, no problem. You just saw what happened. He was probably going in and knocking down. So that was in his tension, because you want to knock that dude down so that dude ain't around you no more, because at no point, you're not thinking that when you're lapped down, he's going to do anything. Even though Jason could have been mad as hell, like, you could have slapped Martha if you want. Well, maybe that would have been different. But Jason wasn't going to do what Hunter did to Jason on the lap down in the championship, no matter what Jet did to him. But Jet was going in to knock him down because he doesn't want no retaliation. Because if Jason would have stayed up like he did, then it would have been all bet, because you hit me. And you know how I do. I'd be lapsed, man. I would have had every intention, even though it would have been wrong, whatever, all these situations, it would have caused a different situation. I would have knocked you down. Well, Jet goes in, makes an aggressive pass, more aggressive than Jason, tries to go and knock him down. Jason stays up. Jet almost falls down. He goes over to finish line, look back, like, oh, shit, no. All right. Goes over to triple, looks back, oh, shit, no. And then he goes in that next 180, and he loses the front and almost ends his season right there, because if he would have hit, he would have hit. He would have hit. He'd have been probably knocked out. But he saved it because he's talented. But all that was caused because what he saw happened in front of him, and because of what happened a couple weeks ago with his brother, all of it transpired. And within like a minute and a half, we saw this whole year, 17 races, all that stuff could have been accumulated, and you could have messed around and lost your title. Even though the fat lady, she was on the scene, or the pretty lady, she was on the stage, you could have lost your title over somebody else's situation, no matter who it is. And I think this is where I go back to this. As Jet gets better and he's older, he's probably not going to get faster, but he's going to get more aware to realize that, you know what, Hunter's a big boy. I'll get this later on. There's times and places for everything. And when you look back at what he's able to do, people say, dude, the dude's dominant. Like, he's, nobody's going to beat him. Well, yeah, he's fast. He's fast, but he's in a spot where everything is happening perfectly for him. And these guys, unfortunately for these guys, he's only going to get better upstairs. He's getting confident. So as you probably could get him if you wanted to, like if some races you get to him, he might, you know, want to get into stuff. Like he's had this incident with Jason and there's a little history there. We go back to when he was on the 250F, when he was so dominant outdoors and then he got into a 401 phone book and he goes down. There's been signs that Jet's still young and you can still mess around. As you get older, you realize the story I was saying about the mechanic. You're like, dude, I'm old man. Like I'm who I am. Well, right now is when these guys are supposed to do it. Well, they haven't been able to capitalize on that. And I'm just saying in a year, 2 years from now, like this part won't happen. So he's going to be more unbeatable, not because he's faster, but because he's more just aware and that makes it hard. So nonetheless, he almost ended his championship. And so lesson learned, I think Jet knows, and he's still a kid. He'll get on the podium, say, suck it.
For everyone who doubted, suck it.
Wasn't necessarily talking to Jason, but it's one of those spots that I say a year from now, you put him in the same spot, he won't do this because he'll be like, I'm going to wrap the championship up. I'll take him out down on my way to the rig. That's what he would do. Or I get him later on. But the whole thing for Jet Lawrence is this. He's your champion. He's your champion. But before I get into Jet, I want to do one special one. So all year long, we've been talking about you. We've been talking about you a lot. And we're like, dang, like, yeah, he's good. He's good. But he just needs to get better. And there were some mistakes. And it just looked different. Things didn't look right. Things didn't look right. And you got to win. And it just seemed like, okay, that was cool. But did you really feel like you were winning? And there was other races that you went in. You were like, all right. And then you made mistakes. But this guy kept going. And when we were thinking like, okay, maybe the change wasn't the right change. He just kept fighting along. And so I want to give it to him because I'm sure this one feels like the first time he's really gotten it this year. And that's Chase Sexton. So Chase Sexton, job well done, whatever it is, please hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
Neck burn, Chase. You had one of these at San Francisco, but you haven't had one of these, a good neck burn. So good job, kid. Good job. Keep it going. Now, Jet Lawrence, talking about you because we've been talking about you all year long. And in a year that, yeah, we had the old dog teaching new tricks and Cooper Webb keeping you. I'm sure you didn't think about him coming into it. But when you saw Anaheim, I was like, damn. And you were like, probably, damn, I don't want that dude. And you got the taste of who, what, and what makes Cooper Webb, Cooper Webb. You just don't know, but it just figures out. Same thing, Eli, same thing, Roxanne said, like, damn, dude, I don't know what it is, but the dude just does. You saw that with Cooper Webb. So you know who you're racing against, and I'm sure you got mad respect for dude because you just don't know what it is about dude. He just does it. But you were able to step up when you needed to step up. And all year long, you've been the best. And, yeah, you got 8 wins. But Daytona, let's break your year down real quick. Real quick. Let's do a minute. Come out Anaheim 1. Everybody's talking about Eli Tomac, everybody else. You come out, wax ass. Then you get down, you get to San Francisco. You feel like, damn, like, dude, don't you know how to ride the mud? Like, he was just falling over. You got to have a little bit like your brother's riding style. You got to sit down a little bit more, but that's whatever. Had a couple of instances. Then you get in there with Jennifer's daddy. Then you're like, oh, man, fans start turning on you. Like, dang, chipping armor. Like, all right, Cooper Webb's doing this thing. Aaron Plessen, yeehaw, cowboy. He was doing this thing. Get well soon. And then we go to Daytona. Eli, beast mode's back. Looking at Dallas. Yeah, you still got it. But he was coming. But, hey, Daytona, you knew you needed to stop it. You showed up, waxed ass. And then you came again, waxed ass. And then Cooper Webb started coming. And then you said like a 25-point lead, 21-point lead. Next thing you know, 2 races later, you tied. Cooper Webb's coming. He's talking about jacking off in Woods, right? What did you do? You stepped up and you got it done. And then you got it done again. And then you go in the last race and you got this big old points lead. But my whole point is that you stepped up when no one else did. And when you had to step up, you focused and got business-like and you got it done. And that, to me, is more impressive than anything else. Because a man, when he has to go out and do stuff, like Cooper knew he needed to do it. And I said with everybody else, is the championship as close as what the points say they are? Or do they feel like, damn, I'm here because of this dude? Well, either way, you stepped up. And that's impressive. So, kid, from here, all the people across the world. And you can't underestimate and can't take anything away from it. Don't care who's there, not there, because they all were there, whatever, blah, 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 blah. You stepped up as a champion. And that's 7 in a row. Damn, that's impressive. I didn't even think about it. You won that. And you did it, kid. So from when you was crashing at Anaheim your rookie year next to Ferrandis to now wrapping up that championship. And yeah, you still might go after Laura's daddy. But hell, at the end of the day, you held that red plate up. Congratulations, Mr. Lawrence. Hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.
Fire! Next on fire, Jet Lawrence. Good job, kid. I know this probably feels better than even a 22-0, which you're going Impala, so that's going to be fun. We'll see you outside, kid. All right, the 250 class. Now, one coast was pretty. We kind of figured that this was going to happen, right? East Coast, Biggie Smalls, you know, Puffy, Bad Boys Records. We figured that was going to end up going like it ended up going. But the way Tom B.I. rode in Philadelphia, that pressure that he was able to sustain, the fact is, like, Hayden probably should have got at him then, but he didn't. We were like, all right, whatever. Coming in his race, Tom was like, he was all right. Tom was Tom. Hayden looked good. And the rider, when he comes in, no pressure situation, like Hayden kind of figured he was going to ride pretty good, motivated, going outdoors. But he had a baby last year, trying to have another baby. Hayden came out, swung at it, and kid was, he was doing good. No fault. Like, he was fine. He only had a little incident with Jordan Smith. And sometimes you send a bad text. You know, like they just hold the text against you. So we don't got much time. I don't know if I'm talking about it, so I won't talk about it right now. But Hayden, you did good. So I'm going to give you a neck burn for the neck burn. So please hit it for him, Cole. We got 8 neck burns.
Suntan, next on fire.
East-West shootout. They used to give trucks. I don't know if they give trucks anymore, but nonetheless, good job, Hayden. Tom V out. Now, in that heat race, bruh. Last time I was at Salt Lake City and saw Salt Lake City, and I saw a rider ride like you did. It was like Eli Tomac when it was championship back in like 11 or something. Tom Vial was struggling. Dude was like running off the track when there was nothing to run off the track. He was struggling, mental. But in the main event, Tom Vial showed up like Tom Vial did, and he held it together, and he was able to wrap this championship up. And it was special, and I'm probably going to keep this segment just like how Tom does. Like he's sneaky. Like he's your champion, but it seems like it got overlooked. Nobody's really talking about it because we're talking about the West Side, Tupac, not bad boys. He'd be like Suge Knight, all them cats. But Tom Vial's championship, people, is probably just as important and is as big as Jet Lawrence's. It is. The reason I'm going to say that is because what Tom Vial was able to accomplish is why Jorge Prada is coming back next year. And it's probably why you're going to have more European guys, MXGP guys coming over here and competing. Because the world's a lot closer than it used to be. I said this in the past. Like, the world is here. Like, we're not. We just had a Frenchman, an Australian, and American win championship, right? But Tom Vial, his championship, yes, we've had East Coast guys. We had guys winning championships in the East Coast, like West Coast, lights class. Seen it before. We had Frenchmen winning. But this one's probably the biggest one because of what I just said. And in reality, Tom has opened the door up to having those guys feeling like they can come and compete. Because Tom, he was great over Europe, and he's your 2-time world champion. But when you look at how some of these guys, some of these kids, when you watch the MXGP, the 250 class, they look like how we see, I guess back in the day, we used to look at GPs and they were real smooth, kind of like Tom Vial, like real smooth. These cats be out like scrubbing. They got speed and you could tell the skill set is there. And when I used to watch Tom, like I knew he was good, but he reminded me of like Jorge, like the kids were just solid. Like they were doing like just same thing every lap, basically what Tom does now. But at the end of the day, so there's more kids coming. There's more kids coming, and they're going to see Tom, probably their hero growing up over there, watching and just being able to do this. They're going to come. So what he's able to do opens up the door. It's kind of like the scrub. When you start doing the scrub, people see it. They, all right, we got to start doing it. McGrath, you got to stay low, whatever, Showtime. People start doing it. RC, training. Tom Vial, to me, it's just done something like that for the sport. It's a game changer. And so his championship is special. And I'm going to hit you with a neck burn for this. Please hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.
But I'm going to hit you with another neck burn because you're bringing the world with you. And people, 5 years from now, you have more MotoGP guys and MotoGP, well, that's different. I don't think we're going to have Valentino come over here, but MXGP guys coming over here. A big part of that, and the reason that is because guys like Tom Vial. So congratulations. I'm going to hit you for a world. Neck burn. Hit it for me again.
Suntan, next on fire.
Good job, dude. Good job. And people, dude might win outdoors too. Just saying, like, that's his home. We saw what he was doing last year. He's gotten better in Supercross. Don't be surprised. And I will say this, a little future. When you look at Tom Vial and you look at all the 250 guys, which guy did you feel like you got more consistency? Like the one guy that's just like, all right, he's going to just be there every weekend. Like he's just going to be there because he don't really do nothing special, but he's fast. That's Tom Vial. So, hey, Deegan, they have up and downs. RJ has RJ stuff. Levi, the kitchen was leaking a little bit. Joe, sometimes he don't get off the gate. Sometimes he gets off the gate and he's still just, you know what he does. But Tom's just going to be Tom. And that's why that heat race was so surprising. But he's going out to start. So he's going to be your consistent guy in that 250 in the motocross series. So he might not win a lot of races, a bunch of them, but he's going to be there every weekend and he might end up winning a championship, but he might win a lot of races. But nonetheless, good job, kid. Now the West Coast, it was down to Levi Kitchen and RJ. Now, with those two guys, it was basically dead even. It was dead even, like literally dead even. They both had red plates. They came in, had three wins, same amount of podiums. But it was going to come down to who really sustained the pressure because neither one of them has been in this spot. Neither one of them. Levi was able to answer the bell last weekend after what happened in Nashville. He came back. He answered the bell. He was able to beat RJ, but RJ was there. And we kept saying, RJ might do RJ stuff. That was the only thing that we were thinking about with him was that he was going to have an RJ moment because he always looks like he's about to have an RJ moment. But I talked about, I don't know if I talked about it on camera, but I always talk about, sometimes I talk to myself, but I was like, if I'm looking at it, if I break this down, Levi should have him covered on, because I think Levi's probably got a little bit more skills. Way Salt Lake City, that track, you got to be finesse, throttle, like, you know, you got to be pretty good. Neither one of them's been in this spot, but when you, I would think Levi's the faster one, maybe a little bit, but the faster one. So he should, right? He's got pro circuit. Mitch Payton's got a lot of championship. So you would think Levi, but then what counteracts that is RJ's motorcycle. RJ been disrespecting the whoops. RJ's bike's been really good on this hard, slippery stuff, and it's going to be really good. Look at all the KTMs. I mean, my brother did. He rode good. His bike's going to be pretty good. And although Levi's bike's going to be pretty good, RJ's bike's going to handle. Okay, let's go next. Pressure. Which one's going to be comfortable being uncomfortable? Well, that would say when I look at uncomfortable, I look at RJ. His face pops up. He looks like he's uncomfortable. How can you ride that way? He's almost going to crash, but he's comfortable doing that. So put him in his spot. I believe he's going to be more comfortable than Levi. So even though Levi might be fast, I'm going to give RJ the advantage here. And that's what I said, and that's what ends up happening because RJ stayed like RJ. RJ rode like RJ. And Levi was up and down in practice, and I know he came out afterwards and said that was kind of the plan, but I don't think that was the plan, because the plan wasn't looking like that was the right plan. I think they went back, and whatever happened in between heat rays, Mitch Payton stood up, and he was like, and started walking to him, and he was like, hey, yo, don't make me put my foot up your ass if you are like that, because you ain't going to win. They ain't going to win. I knew people that I was wrong, but hey, it was my point. My point was, Miss Payton wasn't having that shit. So Levi came out. Now, he raced, and you could see it, because when you think about it, I was like, man, RJ needs to attack him right now. Like, right now, because if he lets him, like, stay up front, Levi's going to start walking away, and that's what... Sometimes I get excited. I'm so excited. Now I'm pissed. See, that was like the 100 pass. First one, I was like, all right, that was going to be it. Second one, like, now we got a problem. 5 minutes later.
5 minutes later.
So when I look at RJ, I'm like, he's the definition of uncomfortable. His face pops up when they look in the dictionary. So who has it? Well, in the heat race, I was saying that RJ needed to get at him right now. Because if he let Levi stay where he was, Levi was going to get comfortable and Levi was probably going to pull away, like get more comfortable because Levi was a little sketchy all day long. Kitchen was leaking. They kept burning the stuff. Pancakes getting thrown. Like chef was fighting. That's kind of how it was in the kitchen. But he showed up. He came up and he got the kitchen right and RJ. So I was like, all right, damn. Keep knocking the man. Kick that man while he down. Like kick that man because he don't need that confidence. Well, Levi stepped up and did it. And if you watch the heat race, people, watch it. Levi was making mistakes. He was coming up short on things and go to like lap four. Look how Levi starts riding. Levi started leaning the bike over. He actually started railing those corners and started pulling away. And even though RJ ran in at the end, it was because Levi was getting confidence because how that day went. Now imagine RJ would have passed him in the beginning part of that race. Levi would have been still shook because RJ was riding like RJ all day long. Well, main event comes. They both kind of ended up in the same spot. Like, yeah, RJ was ahead of him, but not by much. And then at one point, I think Levi was right behind him or they were right there. There was maybe a guy. And RJ kept going up and he kept passing guys. And Levi lost the championship when he got stuck behind Nate Thrasher. It was like two or three laps because he actually was coming. He was the fastest guy on the track. He kept RJ right there in front of him. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. But Levi, when you listen to him in his interviews, and I was like, all right, do you think that guy would knock that guy down for a championship? Well, you look at RJ. I'm going to say this. Levi, you never know. Nothing's promised to you. Tomorrow's promised to no one. But RJ's been in this thing for 10 years. Levi just switched teams. He's going to be here for long. He's a lot younger. So if you say Levi probably having a shot at doing this, where RJ, I would say his whole mindset is like right now, I don't know. These freaking young millennials, Z's, X's, Y's, Malcolm X's, whatever, they just keep popping up. And you know how Star Racing, they be having babies all the time. They got a 2050 baby already out there training and he ain't even like inseminated yet. That's how that program works. So there's more kids coming. So RJ is probably in the mindset, like I need to get it done now. He would probably knock grandma down, slap grandpa, and slap his mama and daddy on the way to get the win. And that's how he was. So RJ was going to get it done. But when you listen to Levi was like, yeah, I probably would. We probably, you know, hey, whatever. But you just didn't really see it there. Well, when he got to Nate Thrasher, he should have thrashed his ass. Like, he should have did it. Because I thought when he got up to Nate, the first time you caught him in the incident where Hunter Lawrence and Jason, the remix, the second pass, Levi should have gave him the business and got in front of him because he was rolling and he didn't. Then he got stuck behind and they got that gap. And the part that was going to kill Levi was this. That track, it was a limit to it. And the limit was it was so slippery that you can make up time. Just like we saw in the LCQs, guys can like make up time. But what was that chance? Like there's no way you can continue that without hitting the ground. So Levi was stuck in a spot. He could go fast, but there was only a certain, he could only go so fast before making a mistake. And you could see him coming after you got past Nate. Dude, he was coming and then all of a sudden he like lost a second and now was on the track. So because he wasn't able to get past it, Nate, and because RJ got that gap, RJ was really in a position because even if Levi was going faster, he probably wasn't going to be able to do that because he was going to hit the ground the way that track was. But Levi did his best. RJ did something impressive because last time he had the red plate was the last time he had the red plate. And we were all thinking like, okay, man, RJ going to blow up like bang, popcorn bang, going to trip down, fall over. Something's going to happen and nothing happened. But what happened was RJ stepped up, did it for Dade City, but RJ really did something pretty cool. And you got to think all the turmoil, all the crashes, when he hit that ground last year in that Triple Crown at Anaheim 2, damn, that boy hit that ground. When he was racing against Jet Lawrence, when he passed Jet Lawrence, and then he beat him in one of the heat races, whatever, all that stuff accumulated to him being able to sustain the pressure and step up. And he somehow went into RJ-ish and said, I'm going to ride like I ride. And if I ride like I ride, either I'm going to hit the ground or I'm not. And if I do that, I'm probably going to win because Levi, the kitchen leaking a little bit, and the chef's on fire. So RJ, hit it for him.
Suntan, next on fire.
RJ did it. RJ represented. Congratulations, kid. For reals, congratulations. Like, I know that's special for you. Woo! done. Even that Husqvarna team, they need something. They need something. My brother was doing his thing. And I was just messing around. Like, I would have ate it in those woods probably earlier than that. So I'd just be messing, brother love. Yeah, probably would have. I don't know. But they needed some luck. They needed something to go good, and RJ stepped it up. So that was really cool to see that. So congratulations, Levi. Dude, great year. Outdoors is still here, baby. And you can still wield this world championship. You can be the super motocross world champion. There's a lot to look forward to. He's going to be solid. And Mitch, I'm going to come over there. We're going to go to New Orleans. We're going to find some voodoo magic because, bro, we gotta vaccinate that truck. I don't know what's happening. You go from like all red plates. Everybody's just winning. Like everybody. And they, damn. Like, no one can ride. But Mitch Payton, that team's gotten better. Levi's gotten better. They'll be back. So that was it on that. So congratulations to RJ, Tom Vial, what's the kid in the futures class? What's his name? The kid that won. Mr. Davies, congratulations, all those kids. And Jet Lawrence, congratulations. So there's your champions, people. There it is. We got some questions, Cole?
All right, cues us too. So MotoFro95 asks, like it or not, we're officially in the Jet era. Who do you feel like can keep Jet from going perfect again, or at least keep him honest all summer? I feel like it'll be Sexton.
What's up, Fro Daddy? I see a couple people. Yeah, Chase Sexton, for sure. I don't think Jet go undefeated this year. He might come out, win 5-6 in a row, who knows? But I believe his brother, he'll get a win. That's going to be interesting, right? Like, it might be, what if they go undefeated? The Lawrences. Think that could happen. But I believe Hunter will get a win. And Chase will get a win. I think for those guys, it's going to be very, very, very important that it happens early. You got to get in, like, they got to show speed or something in those first couple races. But otherwise, if he has, let's say Jet comes out and he has like Anaheim, or he beats Chase like he was beating him last year, no matter, it's going to be a long season. But I think there's going to be some other guys in there. Fortunately, we lost Eli. I didn't really think Cooper was going to be a factor that much anyway. But it's going to be a couple people.
Tyman11 asks, if JS7 designed a track with no restrictions, what would you do to make it more competitive and less one-lined?
What up, Todd, man? It's easy staying. The tracks definitely, you can make them. They seem like they're somewhat one-lined it. And you would think after all these years, they've heard that, they know that, but it continues to happen. So why is that? There might be a reason why that's always that way. Like, why they do that we don't know. I don't know what it is. But yeah, you could just change a 90 here and there. And the unfortunate part is that you can have a track and you could put a 90 in one spot and it can make half the track one lined it. And that's the problem. And so, yeah, you throw 180s into it. It's just where you put obstacles at. I think the whoops, a lot of it can be different if you have a 180. So guys can go inside or outside, have a choice. I think you just have to put tracks to where it's kind of like a slalom. Like when you went over to tunnel jump this weekend, and you go to a mechanics area, inside, outside, where you can switch back and forth, and you have to set this corner up to get to this next straightaway. That's why you make tracks so they're not one-lined, where guys have to make choices earlier for another sections. So it leaves it open, but easy, could, woulda. They don't ask me, so I think I have an idea, but good question.
Shane Bagley, he's asked questions before that we put in the show. He asks, what's the mental switch like when going from a close title battle in Supercross to the outdoors?
What up, Shane? Another great question. Repeat customer. Love it. The mental switch is, I don't know. I actually never did it. It's kind of hard to talk about it because I didn't do it, unfortunately. Well, I did in lights class, but back then, yeah, I don't know. Usually guys come in what they call it the hangover, right? But I don't think that's an issue. I don't think the bike setup's going to be an issue because now all these teams, they got test riders and they got other guys on the race team. So back in the day, it was usually like you were the main guy And even your second guy, he really couldn't test for you. So if you were in championship for Supercross, you really didn't do a lot of testing because you were in that and you didn't have another guy. Well, now they got guys that's doing testing. So bike's not going to be an issue. And I think it depends on who's winning. Let's say a guy like Eli Tomac, all right, a little bit older, wins championship. He knows what he can do outdoors. He just knows he has to get started. He'll be taking him a couple races. Jet Lawrence, I don't think it's going to matter. He's going to go into it like he did. There won't be any championship hangover because he's got something to go for right off the jump, and that's that streak. And he's young, so he don't care. So I don't think you're going to see that this year, a championship hangover from anybody. And I think the age of the hangovers are a little bit different because, like I said previously.
MX Michael 417 asks, how do you think the KTM will handle for Sexton outdoors? We know he's fast, but KTM and Honda are different. Will his speed transfer on the KTM, or will he have to find something more than speed to win?
MX Michael, great, 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 great question. And I think the answer is we'll find out in a couple weeks. Will your boy be there in Paula? But I think Chase will be like he was on Saturday night. I think that's going to be Chase. I think Chase is going to just got a sneaky feeling that he's going to be pretty good this year. I really do. And I think at the end of the day, it's going to be different. It's going to be a solid. Even on Saturday night when you watch Chase, like I didn't think he was going to fall at one point. And at Honda, I think there will become a point to where if Chase continues to go, when he's out front and he's feeling good, I think we'll look at him like we look at Jet, or even like we look at Eli, that you'll be shocked when he makes a mistake because he doesn't really make too many mistakes. And that's the part that he has to figure out. Now, raising that level, he might not be as fast speed-wise, but he probably go the same lap times he did on the Honda, and I think it'll look different. So to me, if he gets going, I think he'll look like he did Saturday night. It's just going to take him. It's going to be important for Chase to start off that way. If he continues what he did the last couple weekends, going outdoors, whether he wins the first race or not, if he competes, then I think Chase can be solid. But if he goes out and gets his ass whooped a couple races, then, yeah, what do I know, right?
All right, last one. Joe likes bikes. Asks, you and Ricky Carmichael are often heard in commentary talking about staying out of trouble. Anderson's recent response to the Salt Lake incident reads to me like he is happy to play the villain at the expense of podiums. How much do you think attitude influences a rider's ability to win races or championships? And can you think of any talented riders that might have been more successful if it wasn't for their attitude?
Joe, that ain't your average Joe question right there. Good question. Yeah, I mean, me and RC, we talk from experience. So it's a lot easier saying what we would do. A lot of times we didn't do that when we were younger. And then as you go through your career, you learn. But as I was just saying in the previous question, like I wish I would have squashed whatever beef I had with Josh Grant, even though like it wasn't a known beef, but we knew it. And I just knew what was going to happen when I got around them. And because I didn't go over there, maybe say, dude, come on, dude, let's just be done with this. I don't even know what happened. It happened. Because I was just too stubborn. I couldn't do it. I just always got problems. So, yeah, it's easier. I mean, you could think of number of guys. I'm not going to blast anybody out because I don't know. I don't know if Jason really feels that way anyway. And Jason wasn't a guy I was referencing right now. But, I mean, just go through past history. You could look at guys that was talented that just always seemed like they got in trouble and that can win a race but always had something else going on outside. Those are your guys. And I'm sure they wish they could do different things. But with Jason, he might say that, but I know, I mean, he's still a racer and he won championships. And I think what he's saying is not necessarily, sometimes people can say what comes out their mouth and they can direct, they can say something, but that's not what they're actually saying. They're saying it to stop something else from happening. I think that's what this is. Even though, what the hell did I just say? It makes sense. I think Jason might be saying that to let Hunter know that if you want to do this, I'll do it because I don't mind throwing up podiums and I'll lose championship to knock you down. I'm not that guy. But in reality, I know Jason would rather be winning and not dealing with anyone. So what he just said is not what he actually means. But what he was saying was sending a message to Hunter, to my opinion, to let him know you better stop because I'm willing to do that. So That's my opinion, because I think Jason's obviously smart enough to, he ain't that way, but everybody thinks he is, and he probably would be. And again, if I say I don't mind, I'm ready to die, then you might think about maybe you don't want to go in that corner with me because I just said I'm ready to die for this thing, for this win. And you're like, ah, so change your opinion. I believe that's what that answer was. All right, people, thank you for the questions. They were great. Last one at SMX. Got it. Playoffs. No, it's not playoffs. All right, screwed it up. Thank you, Supercross season. Congratulations. All right, people, my favorite time, your favorite time. Well, my second favorite time, because favorite time was just what it was. Stews and stews. So we're going to get right into this. And it's going to be pretty quick because I'm going positive today. And all I'm doing now is stews. Stews. We got Championship Stews Day because it is Tuesday. And it's a special one. So I'm going to hit the list because I got a bunch. So first off, Hayden Deegan, you got to get a stew. Because, yeah, bro, you won. You won. A little late to the party. But it's baby time. It's baby time. I think it's maiden season for alligators right now. And they get a little funky between April and May. And now it's maiden season for you. Because we're going outside where they known to have some babies. And it's a free fest over there. So, Hayden Deegan, congratulations. Great ride, kid. East-West champion shootout. Now it's time for the real man's thing. That's a real man's track, Matt Walker. So, you a stew. And... oh, sorry. Is this confused? How? No. Chase Sexton. You a stew because everything. Just watch the show. You'll know why you a stew. Congrats, kid. Good job. Tom Vial. You a stew. Championship stews. One, you won the championship. Great. But like I said, what you've done is a game changer. And in the future, this might be like the level of sliced bread. Like what you've done, you open up the doors. Might be everybody coming up here. Just open fest. And like I said, we might not have to call ourselves the world championship. The world comes to us. And that's what it is. And Tom Vial is a part of that. So congratulations, kid. Did it. Not many people saw you doing it, but you did it. And we're going outside. And you'll probably do it again. So congratulations. And RJ, yes, you didn't win, but you won the championship. And when Levi, the kitchen was on fire, and he got a new insurance policy, and that thing was brand new. He was serving everybody except for Jordan Smith at one point. But he was letting him in, and you came up. And, yeah, he hit the ground with his teammate and let you back in the door. And when you came in, you kicked that bitch open like Dade City boys should. So, RJ, congratulations for representing the Dade City. I know Randy Yoho and your daddy, everybody, Kenny Yoho, all of us proud of you back in the day. We all proud of you. D.D. Burns even proud of y'all. Yeah, that's my girl. My girl, D.D. Good job, kid. And my last one is Jet Lawrence. Dude, what can we say? So we ain't going to say too much. Kid, exactly. You did what you did and probably more to come. We're going outside. So Jet Lawrence, RJ, whoever else, Tom Vial, Chase, Hayden, Jordan Smith, Levi Kitchen, everybody else. Joe Shimoda, he got off the gate, but he didn't get off the gate good enough. Cody Shock, hey, Cody Shock, honestly, great job. Muck off. You told him muck off. Really, you got third in the East Coast. Now, when you were breaking collarbones and you were getting into it, Hayden Deegan, and I'm like, bro, you can't take out Cody. And then, bro, when you hit the wall again, I was like, damn, for real? Is this like a remix? Cody Shock hit the wall. I was like, hey, the track's going to be bam. There it is. But Cody Shock, seriously, good job. That was overlooked itself. And you were battling with Pierce Brown. If you look at the thing, people, they were back there battling. And I was third in the podium. And that's worth hundreds of thousands and thousands of dollars. That insurance policy, I knew the muck off was like, ah! Probably when they paid that bonus thing, but nonetheless, Cody Shock, you a stew as well for getting up and then getting that third place and battling Pierce Brown. Y'all were literally within a second at the end of the race, 9th and 10th. Good job. All right, people, I'm not even going stew because nobody is. Nobody is. I mean, I don't even think Hunter, Jason, Stew, like they might be less money, but nonetheless, it is what it is. What a great Supercross season. Thank you, Cooper Webb, you a stew. Eli Tomac, get well, get you back. Cooper, you got your wrist taken care of, slap that thing. So you should have kept the jacket on, right? Yeah, that's what it is. You know, maybe that's what it was. But thank you all for a great season. I saw Ken Roczen in the airport. on crutches, talked to him for a little bit. Man, his son, you saw his eyes. That boy was ready to go for the Stay Six Challenge. But nonetheless, it's a great season. And now it's time to go outside. And I'll see you there in a couple weeks or a week from now. It's Tuesday. But till then, people, that was it from round 17. Salt Lake City, we done. And I'm done too. I'm not leaving. Come on, cut it off. I ain't leaving.